This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 205, recorded Monday, June 23rd, 2014, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
So disappointed.
Why are you disappointed?
Because when you called me, you had that awesome music playing in the background. And what do we start the podcast with? A kazoo.
Okay, so what you're suggesting is that I start the podcast with a copy of Liebenzoll Columbus from 1915?
I am not suggesting anything. I am merely stating that I am disappointed.
Okay. I didn't think people would be interested. You know, you heard the tail end of it because I was listening to it when I was connecting up all the equipment, because it just came in the mail. I had to track down a CD, you know, people still have those, in order to find the song that I heard at the concert I was at last week. I think I mentioned to you I was going to a concert, didn't I?
I
talked about it a bit. So I got to meet some very interesting people. They had a band which was Zsil Slepovich and his Klezmer Orchestra, and they played a lot of interesting classic tunes, some of which I hadn't heard before. So I went and tracked them down. It's hard to find recordings of obscure music. So it was something of a big challenge. But that song was appropriate to what's happening later this week, the one that I played on my kazoo.
What is happening later this week?
Google I.O. Remember we discussed it last
week? Oh, Google I.O.
Yes, so in honor of that, I played California, Here We Come. You've never heard that song before?
I have not.
You know, California, here I come, right back where I started from, where bowers of flowers, they all bloom in the sun, each morning at dawning, birdies singing everything. You've never heard this before?
Nope.
Okay. Maybe I should have gone a little more modern, you know. If you're going to San Francisco, be sure to wear your Google Glass. Would that work? You're going to tell me you don't recognize that song either?
I do not.
Has anybody ever called you a Philistine? Musically.
No.
Musically.
Not and lived.
I meant musically speaking. You don't know any of the classics?
I don't.
Okay.
I am an uncultured buffoon.
Okay, well, not everybody would consider, you know, music from the 20th century to be cultured. But that would be the song San Francisco. I think that, who did it? That's Scott McKenzie? Anyway. So now that we've had the musical interlude, yes, Google I.O. is later this week, so there'll be many googly things to talk about next week.
Woohoo!
Yes.
Are we going to talk about World Cup?
Do you want to talk about World Cup, Jerry?
Well, World Cup has been pretty much consuming my life lately.
Am I guessing from that you didn't read the show notes?
I have read the show notes.
Okay, so the World Cup only partially consumed your life. A small portion was consumed by the show notes.
Percentage-wise, very small part.
Okay, so tell me about the World Cup.
There's a lot of people listening to the World Cup.
I didn't say
that. You know, you'd think soccer would be like one of those sports that you'd want to watch, right?
Me personally or in general?
In general. It'd be a visual.
Yes.
But you would be surprised how many people have the audio stream of ESPN up when the games are on.
I've talked to people who have. I'm surprised at who I know who turns out to be a fan of soccer. Not because I'm surprised people are fans of soccer. I'm just surprised that people I'm discovering that I did not know have an interest in it.
Well, I have two principal reasons for being interested or for it consuming my life. One is because, as you and our listeners may or may not know, I married a Hispanic woman and she likes her football.
I thought you were going to say that with more enthusiasm. You're like, football.
I have two daughters who absolutely love the sport as well.
Okay.
Although it's new for my youngest daughter. She was watching the U.S. game and about lost her ever-loving mind at that last goal. It was quite amusing.
This was her first ever-loving mind losing?
At a soccer game, yes.
Okay. Just asking. I don't know if
she's lost her ever-loving mind for other things, but for a soccer game, this was her first time, and it was quite amusing.
I don't know if I've ever lost my ever-loving mind for a sporting event, but, you know, I'm a serious type person.
Okay, well, to draw the stage or set the stage for you, as it were.
Yeah.
The U.S., for all the population that we have and all the money that we have, we don't put a top-tier team on the field.
Is that why is that why their coach said they were going to lose?
I don't know.
Okay.
But
allegedly he said that.
I wouldn't be surprised, and which is sad considering the man gets paid almost $4 million. Okay, so we're playing – we played Ghana. We beat Ghana. We're playing Portugal. Now, bear in mind that Germany just beat Portugal 4-0. And in soccer, getting beat 4-0 is a butt-whooping, a stomping. It's ugly. Okay. All right? So we expected to beat Portugal. I expected us to beat Portugal. Not easily, not handily, but beat them. So the game starts. And within like the first 5 minutes, Portugal scores on us. And it was, I mean, it was a good goal. We just lost it. And, okay, so we start the game 1-0. Down a goal in a game where normally there's only one goal scored in the entire game. So it wasn't looking good. But eventually we got a goal, and then we got another goal. So we're up 2-1. And we maintain that until the end of regulation, until the end of full time. And then we're into extra time, which, you know, is that extra 2 or 3 minutes that the referees tack on to the end of the game or the end of the half to account for injuries and play stops for penalties and such. Okay?
Okay.
The ref added 5 minutes, which is quite a bit. Normally, you'll see 2 or 3 or maybe 4, but he added 5 minutes. With like 30 seconds left in that 5 minutes, Portugal scores, ties up the game. Ah! If they had not tied up the game, if we had won the game, then we would have clinched our moving on to the next level. As it is, we have to tie or beat Germany, which is going to be difficult. There are other ways in which we get to move on to the final 16, but anyway, very frustrating. If the refs had only added 4 minutes, we would have won the game. But no, they added 5 minutes, and we just couldn't hang on for that extra 30 seconds. And my daughter at that point just lost her mind. What?
But how can you think of it that way? Do you know how little things can turn into big things? That's the whole butterfly effect.
That's not what the butterfly effect means.
Well, no. Essentially, it does in one sense. The butterfly effect, the example is a butterfly flaps its wings on one side of the world, and the weather on the other side of the world is completely changed. It's the idea how one inconsequential thing can have a big effect somewhere else.
No. I'm going to disagree with you.
Okay, what's your
opinion? I believe the butterfly effect is how effects can compound to create completely unforeseeable consequences.
Okay.
Not necessarily the relative size of the cause or the effect.
No, it's not always the relative size. Isn't the relative size, you know, a matter of opinion? So let's take an example. I'll use an example from our lives. So had I not decided to go on some random podcast, I wouldn't have spent the last few years talking to you. But did I know when I went on some random podcast that I would start a long 206 episode journey with Jerry Jones?
You did not. And had you known, would you have gone on that podcast?
Well, I don't know. Are you asking if I had known that it would result in me doing a podcast with you, or if I had known the podcast would be canceled not that long after that?
Nothing. Never mind.
Uh-huh. We've had fun.
I've enjoyed it.
In fact, we have this lovely message that came in from Jonathan. I have been listening since episode 8. I went back and downloaded the previous ones. It's because of Jerry I got my Evo. I went from that to a Note 2. I have been playing with rooting and roaming. I enjoy your banter. I miss flying bathtubs. Squirrel. That was for Jerry. Anyway, keep up the good work. You two are partially responsible for turning me into a podcast and Android junkie. I look forward to many years of enjoyment from you two. Thank you, John from Oregon.
Oh, how sweet.
Yes.
That didn't make it into the show notes.
I just noticed it. I always forget to check that box. Anyway, I like the spontaneous reaction anyway. Don't you like the spontaneous reaction?
I do.
Okay. That all.
Wait, you mean my spontaneous reaction?
Yeah, that all was.
I don't like my spontaneous reaction. That's like a surprise. I don't like surprises.
Yes, but that awe was a genuine awe. It wasn't rehearsed.
It was.
There was no
rehearsal. Well, even if it was rehearsed, it'd still be genuine.
No, then it would be
rehearsed. I don't do non-genuine.
It wouldn't be a spontaneous awe. Anyway.
Okay.
So did you hear that Google and Nest have bought Dropcam?
See, no. $500 million?
For some cameras.
And Nest?
They already bought Nest.
Right, but...
Nest is apparently going to be their, you know, home consumer services division. So that's the company they're going to have that will experiment in the home/consumer space, and now they have folded in Dropcam.
Okay. Wow, Google's got a lot of money.
Why don't they ever throw any our way? I'll have you know that this could be the Android Buffet podcast sponsored by Google. And we'll do it for a lot less than $555 million.
Sure, half that.
Moving along, Tim Wu, the man who coined the term net neutrality and who authored the Master Switch, is apparently running for Lieutenant Governor of New York.
Is that a big deal?
That's right below Governor of New York.
Okay, is that a big deal?
I don't know. Who's the governor of Florida right now?
I have no idea. That just goes to show you how big a deal governor is in my mind.
Okay. Well, basically, the reason why this is not necessarily a story because somebody is running for lieutenant governor. It's a story because Tim Wu is running for lieutenant governor, and he appears to be mostly doing it to call attention to the Time Warner Comcast murder. Go figure.
Yep.
I find that interesting. I thought others would find
it. Is he in support? He's supporting it?
No, he's against it.
Oh.
But he's calling attention to the issue. So essentially, he's running on the platform of anti-merger.
Okay.
Elsewhere, the Supreme Court unanimously restricted abstract software patents.
Kind of.
Too late. Nice to know.
Well, that I wonder what this does to Microsoft's portfolio that is used to get licensing fees.
It'll probably take some time. But apparently you can no longer process something that is completely and totally abstract. Yes, I'm going to put a button somewhere that will close something. And in order to move to this button, you have to click. Now that clicking action it requires a mouse. And the usage of a mouse to close a virtual box on a screen is an abstract concept that must be copyrighted, and we must get licensing fees for that. Despite the fact we stole it from Apple, who stole it from Xerox. That about sum it up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Moving along. There was a great article about how to get the most out of the new Google camera for Android. And I like the idea of people trying to take better pictures. Sometimes sure. You don't need a better camera. Sometimes you just need to make the effort.
Sometimes you need a better photographer.
Yes, and sometimes you need some advice on how to be a better photographer.
Absolutely.
Yes. In fact, I was told that some of the pictures I took last week were very nice.
Excellent.
Yes, I was working very hard. Unfortunately, I wasn't in any of them. And other people said that that was a problem, but I say that makes the pictures nicer. I've silenced you, Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you appear in a lot of your own photography?
Almost never.
Yes.
I don't do selfies.
I think that enhances the photo. This week, I made a rare exception when somebody took a picture of me with a famous person.
Ooh.
Yes.
Who was the famous person?
Fivish Finkel. He was at that event. He was
we have different definitions of famous.
He won an Emmy. Are you telling me somebody who was on television and won an Emmy is not famous? I didn't say he was famous in all circles.
Well, you know, there are some circles where I'm really famous.
Are you talking about the circles where people confuse you with that other Jerry Jones you mentioned?
No, I'm talking about, listen, 100% of the people who listen to our podcast know me.
Wouldn't you say 100% of the people who listen to this podcast know me?
Just because I'm famous does not stop you from being famous.
Okay, well, you are...
My famosity does not detract from your famosity.
This famosity
award? So maybe what really happened was that the guy you took a photo with had the opportunity to get his photo taken with a famous dude, and he took it. You. Maybe that's what really happened.
Really? He's older than I am.
So?
Okay.
What does age have to do with anything?
I'm saying he's been around longer than I have. As far as I understand, he was famous before I was around to be famous, unless you're saying that I was famous prior to my arrival, in which case that's sort of a bold claim, I suppose. Well, I'm not making it, so it isn't bold on my part.
I'm not making that claim. I'm just saying, maybe, you know, you have to define the circle.
Yes,
I'm defining. There are circles in which you are more famous than that other dude you just mentioned.
I'm sure.
Circles which include me would be one of those.
Yes, you know me. You don't know this guy.
That's right. You are more famous to me than he is.
He's a nice guy, though. Very entertaining.
Being famous has nothing to do with being a nice guy. You can be nice and not famous. You can be famous and not nice. You can be famous and nice. You can be not famous and not nice. They're two unrelated qualities.
Okay. So I took a picture with a guy who is famous in some circles, but not quite as famous as I am in the circle that you're in.
Okay. He qualifies as famous. He's got a Wikipedia page.
I told you. I don't have a Wikipedia page. Do you have a Wikipedia page?
Yeah, but it says I own the Dallas Cowboys, so it's...
We've covered that before. You told me that wasn't you. I asked.
Yeah, well, but I try and keep a little profile.
Okay, but the guy does have, as I said, the guy does have a Wikipedia page. That doesn't necessarily say he's famous, but he's certainly more well-known than I am, being as I and you do not have a Wikipedia page.
That is true.
And neither of us did a voiceover on The Simpsons.
You do have a Wikipedia page.
I do.
And it's a lot longer than his.
Do I?
Yep.
Are you talking about the page where it the etymology of the word guru? Or are you talking about a different page on Wikipedia?
Wikipedia.org/wiki/guru.
I just asked you if it was that page. That would be the etymology of the word guru.
See? And look at how long that page is.
Yes, it is a Sanskrit
term. There's like all sorts of references and such.
Yes, but they're not specifically to me. See, you have to look under guru disambiguation. And as you may notice, there's no person. That would just be Guru the rapper, Guru Iran, Guru Kerman, Guru Giraffe, Guru Hamazgan are places.
Right, but those are places.
Yeah, but if you notice, there's guru.com, guru, a language of dependent types. So other uses.
There's also, you know what I see that's missing from here?
Oh, here we are. Gurutzu Fernandez, or guru, Spanish footballer.
They have failed to add guru, the top-level domain.
That's new. How about guru, a humanoid robot? Guru is a humanoid robot developed at the Mobile Robotics Lab in the School of Information Technology and Electrical Engineering at the University of Queensland. The design of Guru is based on the human form and is kept as anthropomorphic as possible.
You know,
but that's Guru with two O's.
I'm just going to take a shot in the dark and say we should relabel this episode Flying Bathtubs.
Oh, I thought we were going to label it Guru with two O's. I thought you were going to accuse me of being a science project of the University of Queensland.
No, the University of New York.
Okay. That would be New York University, not University of New York. Oh, it's NYU. Oh. It's not UNY. No, I'm serious. It's okay. NYU. It's not UNY. I've been there. I took classes there once. Not as a student, but I took classes. Anyway, moving along. Keys were apparently stashed in Google Play apps that could pose a risk to users on certain services.
So how does that happen?
Stupidity. In fact, if you look at the article, one of the examples was that the Amazon Web Services page on your secret key specifically says it should not be put into an app that is publicly distributed. So people essentially not thinking that somebody might look at the code and get their keys and use them for something. Heaven forbid.
Now, they have to put one of the keys in there.
But essentially they have put in too much.
Yep.
So, again, people not doing the smart thing. Meanwhile, an undergrad has fortunately found the decryption key in a piece of Android crypto ransomware. So he's been able to write essentially an application to decrypt your files if they have been encrypted by this ransomware.
See, I thought each file got its own decryption key, or each device got its own, not decryption key. Well, yes, decryption key, but each device got its own encryption pair.
Apparently, some of these programmers were not quite that smart. I'm not saying some programs might not have that, but this particular one used the same decryption key.
Oof.
Well, you know, if you're demanding however many Bitcoin you're demanding, you know, you might want to hire a better programmer once you get it. Also, apparently the next version of Android will set the ART, the Android runtime, as the default instead of Dalvik.
Which I hear is going to cause problems for certain launchers.
Well, bear in mind that early on there were programs that had problems with it. I think, by now everybody has had the opportunity to test their app with ART.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't done it by now, you might want to get on that before Google I.O. later in the week. But we should stop for a moment, Jerry, and do you have any predictions about what will happen at Google I.O.? So that we can talk about them next week and say how wrong we were. I'm told that that's an essential part of any of these prediction-type conversations.
Yeah? Is that what they say?
Yes. Apparently everybody makes predictions so that somebody can be wrong. So I've decided to make a prediction of my own.
Okay.
Okay, I'm predicting that at Google I.O., a bunch of developers will be told about a bunch of interesting new APIs developed by Google.
Whoa, hold on there, Turbo. Getting going out in left field. I mean, you're putting yourself out on a limb, don't you think?
Yes. I always put myself out on a limb at Google I.O. time. You know, there were a lot of rumors. People have said that there will be talk of a new Android fitness platform, which seems like a logical progression of what Google has been doing. Coming up,
it does, especially with the yep.
And there is talk that one of their previously announced smartwatches with one of their partners will be shown off there. Although that
like something, will that also have like a pedometer? Not a pedometer, but like motion detectors. That would be the hope.
But the thing is that may or may not be true, because earlier Google was debuting new devices during I/O, but more recently they've had separate events for devices. Because who wants to have the show stolen by one device? Also, they don't really want people to be coming just to get free junk. They want actual developers to come to their conference. So if they distance themselves from the free stuff, then maybe they'll get something a little
bit. So are you saying you do not expect there to be a lot of good like freebie stuff? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that I think they've severely reduced that because of the fact that people were coming just to get the stuff and not for the actual purpose of the event, which was to actually interface with developers.
Sure.
You know that Dan Fry tried to go.
I did not.
Yes, I invited him on to be our roving correspondent, except I gathered he wasn't able to go.
Ah.
But I wanted to mention that because should you have been able to successfully go to this event and you'd like to be our roving correspondent and come on the subsequent Monday, assuming that you've recovered from your post-Google I.O. stupor, you're welcome to come on and tell us your I.O. experience. Assuming you had a legitimate I.O. experience, which was not just being at the keynote, which I'm going to say was probably exciting, but we can see a video of that. Actually, we can see a video of everything. So. But if you have any interesting things to say and you attended this event, you're welcome to reach out to us. If you have interesting to say, actually, you're always welcome to reach out to us. But
yes.
We like interesting people. I think you're interesting, Jerry.
Oh.
I wanted you to feel appreciated. I thought you might have been hurt earlier when I couldn't answer your question as to what I thought would have happened had I decided not to come on that podcast and never met you.
Oh, nope. Well, I got over it.
I got you to a Linux Fest. My work is done.
Ha.
I didn't go this year or the last year, you realize. Thanks to you, you've completely soured self for me.
I'm sorry.
Yes, because you said you'd never come, the event has never been the same and I haven't attended. That's not true. I just didn't attend this year. And last year I was out of town.
I might go to LULF.
Which one's LULF?
The Lunar Linux Fest.
Where's that?
On the moon.
Okay. When is it scheduled for?
Maybe 10 years.
Okay. Keep me posted. I'll make a note on my calendar to check back with you.
You know, nope, not going to discuss it.
But you know, my company did that recently. They put us into a room and asked us to predict what the company and the industry would be like in 6 years in 2020.
Yeah.
They called it 2020 Vision Day.
Ah, that's cute.
Yeah. Well, so what do you think this podcast will be like, Jerry, in 2020?
I don't know.
You think they'll finally convince us to do video? Probably not. The truth is that the amount of work and the amount of storage space required to do video versus what everybody would actually get out of it isn't worth it.
I concur.
If, let's say we did video, one, Jerry would have to comb his hair. Actually, he wouldn't have to, but he'd probably feel obligated to do something of a primping and pruning nature.
Yep.
And then he wouldn't be able to sit there in whatever indecent state he's currently in.
Yep.
Okay. And, you know, some nights I'm, you know, more perky than others, but right now I am, you know, I might have felt the need to put on my tuxedo for the show. Or is that
that's
too
just crazy talk.
That's too formal? Just a suit and tie, right?
Yes.
Yeah, this is not a black tie event, just for, you know, business casual or above. Anyway, and you know, then of course, after you finish, you have to do editing, and video editing takes a long time. First, you know, there's the editing part of it. Then, of course, there's the encoding, the transcoding. You have to have multiple formats, and then if you want it to stream, you have to have special streaming servers. And
I'm not so what you're saying is it's a lot more work to do video than it is to do just audio.
Well, if you want to do it right, admittedly, the simplest way is to just start a hangout and talk. Google's made that very easy.
I like that idea.
What?
I don't like that idea.
Well, no, I like having much more control, and you know, I don't necessarily like to rely on YouTube. Not that there's anything wrong with YouTube. It's just when you end up with the barrier to doing a good production, I think we do a very good audio production. I may play with video for small projects, but I don't think I'm ready to dive into full hourly video.
Sure.
I don't know.
I understand where you're coming from.
I don't know about you. Also, some nights I don't want to be seen. Actually, most nights I don't want to be seen. People don't see me. Anyway, that's another conversation. Google Search now gives a direct link to music apps if you search for an artist.
I did not know that. That's kind of cool.
Well, why don't you try it? I'll give you an artist, and you tell me if it gives you a direct link to a music app. Can you do that
for me?
Okay, I want you to search for Boris Tomaszewski.
Can you give me something I can spell?
You can't spell Boris.
Okay, spelled Boris.
Thomas. Tomaszewski. Okay. So Thomas and then H-E-V-S-K-Y on the end. No, excuse me. No, I'm sorry, H-E-F. H-E-V
nope,
was the other
guy. Nope, it just gave me Google searches.
Okay.
Let's try something a little bit
esoteric.
More.
No, he was the guy who composed that song I was listening to earlier.
Nope, still just gave me Google. Oh, no, here we go. Listen on your apps.
Okay.
YouTube, play music, and tune in.
Okay.
It does not offer. Oh, and if I click show more services, it does show Spotify. And let's click on Spotify, and it opens up, and there we go. It certainly did work.
Well, I
had
now,
to scroll down.
I now have my own streaming music service.
Let's try.
I woke up one day, and I had a streaming music service. So now I now have Prime Music.
What is that?
That's the for people who have Amazon Prime, you now get some songs.
Oh yeah.
They've said that there's nothing current, but considering I hate current music and I only listen to old music,
mm-hmm. You should be good to go.
Theoretically, I was told that their catalog has some gaps. Pretty much anything from Universal, basically.
Yeah, Amazon Prime does have gaps.
Okay, well, I don't really do streaming services because I always felt that my music tastes were so spread out and eclectic that I might as well build my own collection as opposed to trying to track things down in somebody else's.
Eclectic. That's a good way to describe it.
It's spread out. It's a lot of different strange areas. I go from, let's see, what have I done just in the show? I have sung bluegrass music at one point. I have done old show tunes. I've done all sorts of weird things. But at least I'm having fun.
Yes.
See, all I need to do is recruit a co-host who's willing to make a fool of themselves singing as much as I am.
Good luck with that.
I don't think I'm going to find it. Although I did promise at the end I would do a plug for the event I'm attending this weekend. We'll get to that.
You do? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you all about it when we finish talking about the AccuWeather 3.3 update, which introduces Minutecast and a local forecast summary.
You know, I actually might have some relevant conversation about this particular news piece.
Okay, do you follow AccuWeather, or are you more of a beautiful widget which uses some? I know some of them use AccuWeather, some of them use WeatherBug, some of them use Weather Underground. There are a lot of different interesting weather sources nowadays.
You can pick which one you want it to use.
Yeah.
But however, I saw a study where a guy checked the historical accuracy of several different services.
And who was the most accurate?
The National Weather Service.
That doesn't surprise me.
The local weatherman was significantly less accurate than the Weather Channel, and the Weather Channel was less accurate than the National Weather Service.
I'm not surprised about the Weather Channel. The quality of discourse there has really gone down.
Well, apparently, he had the theory that calling for rain makes for better ratings. So a local weatherman is more likely to increase the odds of rain to get better ratings. Whereas the National Weather Service,
has no
they don't
product.
Care. Yeah, they don't. They're there to give accurate information, and that's what they do. It was, and their accuracy was pretty amazing. In my own,
I hear that next year their accuracy will be accurate down to the second.
Huh? I feel like you're making a joke, and I don't get it.
In 2015, they'll be able to predict the end of a rainstorm down to the second.
Are you making a joke? Are you not making? Are you being serious?
Yeah, I saw it in a movie.
Okay, you are making a joke. Okay, cool.
Am I? I thought that was a historic documentary.
I don't know.
It was called Back to the Future. I thought historic documentary, and you know they showed the future.
See, I knew it. It was a joke.
What joke?
Can't fool me. I'm on to your tricks, Mister.
I thought you liked that movie.
I do.
Okay, you don't remember that in the movie he counts down to the weather stopping and comments that he wishes the Postal Service was as accurate as the Weather Service?
Nope.
I have to rewatch that movie. I hear my nieces and nephews are stopping by. Maybe I'll subject them to it. Well, that reminds me, I said I'd buy them a Blu-ray player. Note to self, buy Blu-ray player. I can't loan them my
movie. You didn't press the button on your phone, so it's not going to remind you.
I left it in the other room so it wouldn't ring. They wanted to borrow some of my movies, but I've been migrating to Blu-ray and they only have a DVD player.
Mm-hmm.
So I said I would contribute to that. So then they can enjoy my classic collection. And before you think I'm bad with inflicting my nieces and nephews with old stuff, you should see what my brother has inflicted on them. He's worse than I am.
Okie dokie.
Well, matter of perspective, I suppose. Anyway, Google's stock email app is now in the Play Store, which means that the open source version will die. A horrible, painful, and lingering death. But at least we have K9 mail.
What is K9?
That's the open source fork of the stock email app. You've never seen K9 mail?
Nope.
Check the Play Store.
Okay.
I would, but then you'll complain about my keyboard typing. I've tried to be considerate. I've tried to be considerate all evening.
K9
mail.
Hey, look at that.
Yeah. And it's free and open source. Yay. Anyway, one final app story. Juice SSH, which is currently my favorite SSH app, now has plugin support. And they've already developed a few basic plugins to demonstrate the service.
Cool.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of plugins you need for SSH, but...
Well, one of the examples is a plugin that retrieves system stats data and displays it in a graphical display. So basically, you know how when you are logging into something on SSH, you want to do a bunch of shell stuff?
Yep.
So they've determined that there are people who want to do shell stuff, but there are some people who want to go in and quickly retrieve information and display it on the screen. So it's sort of a script. It's calling itself a plugin. It's really just sort of a script to take information from the back end and display it on the front end.
Ah, okay.
So that can be useful. Let's say you want to look at your logs. So you can log in over SSH and ask it to, let's say, display your log screen and then extract that information and display it in a more mobile-friendly format. Sounds good to me.
Yep, because logs can be kind of rough on a four-inch screen.
Yeah, I've been having a lot of trouble. I've been fighting with
your logs?
I've been fighting with my CDN over the fact that they're telling me there's a problem and they won't send me their logs. I don't want other people's log information. I just want them to give me some samples of what they say the problem is.
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah, since they're not cooperating, I'm thinking of moving my business to Switzerland.
Aren't you a Linode guy?
No, Linode is my server farm. This is my CDN. So far, since I started using a CDN to offload some of the content loading, I started out with a CDN in the Czech Republic, then I moved to a CDN in the United Kingdom, then to another CDN in the United Kingdom, and now I'm thinking of moving my CDN business to Switzerland.
Alrighty.
So far, nobody in the United States has offered me a good price.
Not even Cloudflare?
I don't trust them. I don't trust anybody who wants to take over control of my DNS settings.
How do you expect their stuff to work?
I just want to load my images from another site so it doesn't bog down my server with static content. I want my server delivering dynamic content, so I don't need some of that stuff.
Oh, okay.
This is the difference between paying 12 cents a gigabyte for your service and paying 4 cents a gigabyte for your service.
But Cloudflare is free.
I have more than one site. I thought Cloudflare was only free if you had one. I have to go look again. I haven't looked in a while. Either way, I'm very nervous about... It's free
depending on how much you serve.
Yeah, I serve too much. I am very reluctant to give control of my DNS over to somebody else.
That I can understand.
I understand it too. I have control of other people's DNS, and I don't know why they feel comfortable with it, but they do, so I'm trustworthy. At least I think I'm trustworthy. Anyway, I was going to announce the event I'm attending this weekend, that I was going to invite anybody who wishes to attend, wherever they are. I'm attending the annual Indie Web Camp. Do you remember how I told you I was going to Indie Web Camp New York City back in April?
Am I a bad person if I say no?
No.
Okay, then no.
Okay, well.
Vaguely, I do.
It was so popular that Indie Web Camp, the annual event, which is, you know, the national event, which had taken place for several years in Portland. You've heard of Portland, right?
I have.
They decided that they would that would be renamed Indie Web Camp West, and they would have an Indie Web Camp East in New York. So people would have the choice of going east or going west, and the two events would be simulcast to each other with a video feed between the two. Sound exciting?
Woo!
Because wait, there's more.
Huh?
Yes. Somebody decided that they wanted to have a third satellite in Berlin. So they referred to it as Indie Web Camp Far East. So I jokingly commented to them that that sounded like they were in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And I suggested they change it to Farther East.
Ha!
To my surprise, they took me seriously and did. So now you have a choice of attending Indie Web Camp West in Portland, Indie Web Camp East in New York, or Indie Web Camp Farther East in Berlin. Not only that, should you not be in Portland, New York, or Berlin, you can video in.
That's cool.
I'm very excited. So no matter where you are, you can still participate. You'll be up on the screen with everybody else. In all the locations, you'll see the feed. And there's, of course, a chat room. That would be here on Freenode, which is where the Android Buffet chat room is, under Pound Indie Web Camp. Remember, Indie Web Camp is a group of people who are focused on developing their own websites instead of giving their content to third-party sites where it is not under their control. So it's a group of creative people interested in developing creatively, and there's a whole language and specification and all sorts of other things that come with that should you wish to be involved. And it's what got me writing code, which I hadn't done much of in years. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I call it a good thing.
Well, me writing code, it depends on your perspective. If it's
not really.
If it's people should write code, then yes, it's good. If it's I'm subjecting my code onto an unsuspecting populace, and people must now deal with the horrible code I have now released into the world, then not so good.
Nope, it's still good.
But I am promising, should you be in the New York area and you want to attend Indie Web Camp East, I will be physically present at some point. And I will be physically non-present at other points. I do have other obligations other than hanging around Indie Web Camp, so when I'm not available to attend, I won't be there. But I will be there for some portion of the event. You're welcome to attend, Jerry.
Thank you.
I don't think you're going to, but I would want to extend the invitation. I would even
I appreciate the invitation.
I would even appoint.
I'm not likely to take advantage of it.
I would even appoint you my apprentice, just because I want to say I have an apprentice.
Mm-hmm. Who doesn't?
I don't know. It sounds like an interesting thing to tell people that you have.
Mm-hmm. Although you could use the word like protege instead.
No, apprentice means something specific. It's on the wiki. See, the way that Indie Web Camp decides on its conventions is there's a wiki at indiewebcamp.com. So if you go to indiewebcamp.com/apprentice, it says, an apprentice in the context of the IndieWeb is an Indie Web Camp participant who has not yet set up a personal domain with IndieAuth, but is passionate about owning their identity and data on the web and dedicated to doing so with the help of a creator. A creator being somebody who already did that. So I'm defined in the scenario as a creator.
I think, sure, you could. I'll be your apprentice.
Okay. Wait,
I'm not, because I have not set up my own personal, whatever you call it.
Well, it is. Are you an apprentice? Perhaps you don't have a personal site. Perhaps you're a creator, but only for other people, and don't actively create things for your own site. Maybe you're really excited about the Indie Web and want to join it as soon as you can! Exclamation point. You can still be an apprentice to a creator. If you're not a creator, but want to be, or want to create and contribute, but don't know where to start, team up with a creator to attend the next Indie Web Camp. In the meantime, be sure to get set up with your own personal identity so you can contribute to the wiki and start learning what you can do to add your personal site to the IndieWeb. Lastly, consider attending a homebrew website club meeting, which are open to anybody who are passionate about owning and creating their own identity and data on the web. No technical skill required. You'll likely meet some creators at the meetup and maybe even get some help getting started. I've never attended a meeting of the homebrew website club.
I think you totally should.
I've never been, well, the one time that there was a satellite meeting in New York, because one of the organizers happened to be here and offered one, was a few weeks ago when I was in Florida. So far I have not been physically present when one was available. Also, I haven't been in Chicago, Portland, or San Francisco. But I could start one in my own city.
And then you could apprentice lots of people.
I don't know anybody anymore. Trials and tribulations of working late. The other reason why I haven't attended a homebrew website club meeting, it's also while I'm working. But but I'd like to come to a gathering of people with like-minded interests someday. Anyway, if anybody's interested, I promised I would promote this event. Do you think I should consider it sufficiently promoted, Jerry?
I think you did an excellent job of promoting it. Mm-hmm. I found it interesting.
Yeah, you should.
And not even as a content creator, but, you know, I don't create content, but I really agree with the principles.
Well, that's why I got involved. You know, I had a site that I wasn't maintaining. I'm trying to be better about better maintaining of my sites. I have a lot of sites, but starting to do that got me involved in deciding to do more other things. For example, I do a lot of my content creation using WordPress. I've been creating WordPress plugins. I've been having a lot of fun with that.
I'm glad to hear it. Programming is awesome.
Yeah, as I said, I've been worried about subjecting the world to my programming.
You shouldn't. As a matter of fact, there's a, you know, Google does a whole lot of videos.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, they end up on YouTube. There's that one video that comes to mind when you say that you're worried about subjecting the world to your code.
Yeah.
See if you can watch a video called The Myth of the Genius Programmer or Genius Developer or something along those lines.
I sent you my embarrassing code repository, so you can criticize it as much as you want.
No, I'm not going to.
You're welcome to, though.
Okay. Here, you have a homework assignment.
Oh, I get homework?
Yes.
Okay.
Just to watch that.
Okay,
I'm also going to put it in the Android Buffet IRC, so it's there if you close your Skype window.
Oh, I don't have a Skype window.
Or your whatever to whatever.
Yeah, I'll close my whatever to whatever whenever I figure out what a whatever is. I do have a whatever, right?
I think so.
Okay, I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, moving along, that brings us to the end of our program for this week. Stay tuned next week for our Google Iowapalooza.
Iowapalooza!
What would you call it?
Sounds like a great name.
Okay. So stay tuned next week where we will recap the events of Google I.O. at our Google Iowapalooza or Palooza or whatever name you wish to refer to it as. We're fine with it. Anyway.
And look at you took us right to an hour once again. You're a genius. How do you do this?
I talked about things that had nothing to do with Android. That's how we always solve that problem. Anyway, as I said, that brings us to the end of the show. We'll be back next week. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. You can find us on most major social networks. That would be www.facebook.com/AndroidBuffet, www.twitter.com/AndroidBuffet, plus.google.com/AndroidBuffet. And of course, you can visit us at www.androidbuffet.com where you can find our contact form. And of course, you can find our testimonials page. You can find additional details about the show there. We record live on Monday nights. That's 10 p.m. Eastern time. Or whatever it is in your local time zone. There's a countdown clock on the website should you wish to see how many hours it is until the next episode of Android Buffet. Oh, I forgot to cover
Jerry. That was so awesome. Good job.
Well, I used to watch that Micro Machines guy when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to do those commercials. What was that guy's name? That isn't
I don't
me.
Know.
That isn't me, but I'm going to look up the Micro Machine guy. Micro Machine guy. John Machida Jr., also known as Motormouth John Machida, best known for his rapid speech delivery. Let's see. He's been credited in the Guinness Book of World Records as the world's fastest talker with the ability to articulate 586 words per minute. His record was broken in 1990 by Steve Woodmore, who spoke 637, and Sean Shannon, who spoke 655. Oh, and he's from New York City. I wonder if I'll ever get a chance to meet John Machida Jr. I'll figure it out someday. So that brings us to the end of our program. We will be back next week again with Google Palooza or Google I.O. Palooza or whatever we call it. Stay tuned. Goodbye, Jerry.
Goodbye. See y'all next week or hear you next or talk to you next week or something. Bye.